This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. You're listening to Afternoons with Helen Farmer. It's all about living your best life.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Great to have you with us on the Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast. It's Pets and Vets. This is always your chance on a Wednesday afternoon to ask the expert vet live any questions or concerns you might have about your animal. We also look behind the headlines today. And on this episode, in conversation with Dr. Sarah Elliott from the British Veterinary Hospital. She was taking your questions on everything from health to behaviour. Plus, we were speaking to a luxury Kateri and asking, would you work out with your dog?
Pets and Vets.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
In association with Royal Canin, the animal before the owner.
Great to have you with us for another Pets and Vets. And we are delighted to be welcoming Dr. Sarah Elliott with us to the show this afternoon. Dr. Sarah, how are you?
Hi, I'm very good. Busy.
The new clinic has opened in the marina.
It has, yes. So we're sort of running that through and I surprise myself every day how much admin work I've still got to do. It's sort of quite scary.
Be a vet, they said. You'll play with animals every day, they said, as you're there dealing with all the paperwork. Well, bless you, and thank you for making time for us this afternoon. Already a number of questions coming in across all sorts. We've got papilloma, we've got a parakeet pair, and we've got cat flu, plus many, many more coming in on 4001. Before we go to the text line, though, next week, March 23rd, is Puppy and Kitten Day. So if you are thinking about getting either, we just urge you here at Pets and Vets to have a really long, hard think about it. Make sure you're ready for it, both emotionally and time, but also financially as well. There are some big considerations to make before you make that decision to adopt, don't shop, a puppy or a kitten. And I just wondered if you're able to give us from a pet's point of a vet's point of view, some of the questions we need to be asking ourselves, Dr. Sarah, before adding to the family.
I think you mentioned some of the big ones there. I mean, make sure you've got the time for the pet that you choose. And if you can, trial a pet. When I say trial a pet, if you've got a friend with a dog, cat, different ages, see if you can borrow them for the weekend. See how you get on. See whether you can make that time for the early morning walk, the sort of after school walk, whichever one it is, and that kids and everybody are all involved. Do you want to have the money? You want to make sure that you have your fund for relocating your pet to whatever country you choose to end up in. Or if you're here for 15 years, fantastic, then your pet's going to be with you. But make sure you've got the money if you are going to move countries, or let's face it, if another pandemic hits, as nobody knows, then make sure that you've got the money in place for that.
But
I think I was just going to say, you know, what a wonderful time we've had. You know, we've had COVID for a year now. And the number of people who've had such an enriched life because of the pets in their life over the last year that's been hell for everybody, but fantastic with those pets that we have.
I couldn't agree more. Maud's been in touch saying, what is the name of the clinic in the marina? Are you able to share the details there, Sarah?
It's Marina Veterinary Clinic, so Marina Vets.
There you go. Does what's said in the tin. My husband sent me a photo last night, which was excellent reasons to give pets boring human names. Number one, to see how long it takes co-workers to realise you're talking about a pet, not a significant other. Dave and I were watching a movie in bed last night. Or about a kid. Maria's not allowed to eat raisins. She's allergic. Use them as an excuse. Ted hates it when I get home late. And eventually you get to say things like, Jennifer got stuck between the wall and the refrigerator again. Going to the text line, Shireen, we always get a poo question and we're going in early. Shireen, sorry to hear that, saying my cat is 8 months old, has had two episodes of blood in her stool. One was hard, one soft. Should I visit the vet?
It depends if it's normalised again. Nice conversation to talk about. If a pet strains particularly hard, so if it was hard and they've got themselves a little constipated, sometimes that extra effort that they use to get it out can pop a little blood vessel and they end up with a bit of bleeding. And often if they have been quite bunged up, then the next one will be quite loose. So if it was a one-off episode, then you're probably okay. But if it's continuing or if it's continuing to be soft or indeed very, very hard, then we should get to see them.
Thank you, Dr. Sarah. Ludmilla has been in touch saying, my 11-month-old foster puppy has papilloma. He's being isolated from my other two dogs in the house. How long does it take for his antibodies to fight it off? Thank you. What is papilloma? Am I saying
warts.
It right?
You are. It's warts.
Okay.
And they are viral warts that puppies can get. same as kids can get, and they can be frustrating, they can be quite painful, they can occur in all sorts of areas. You can get them on the tongue and around the mouth, you can get them on the paws. One of the issues you get if you get them around the face is that the puppy or kitten will then lick at their other parts, even down to their private parts, and actually spread the virus onto those areas. In general, it takes between sort of 3 and 4 weeks and about 3 to 6 months to really get rid of those beasties, to the point where sometimes if there's been lots around the mouth, I've actually surgically removed some of them just to stop it spreading so much.
Oh, that sounds miserable for your little one, Ludmilla. Sorry about that. So is that the best course of action then, to be isolating?
I mean, if the other ones are older, so if they're all puppies, then they're likely to spread. It's much less likely to spread to older pets, but can occur, especially if they are pets that have got a compromised immune system, because it's all about your immune system and fighting these things off.
Okay, hope that helps, Ludmilla. Thank you, Adlon Singh. Hi, Helen. My super sweet and smart parakeet pair, Sylvester and Tweety, bring me so much joy once I get back home from work. My dear birdie babies love to sing to me and with me. Oh, please send a video. Please, please, please. Sorry, Maud's asking again. It is called the Marina Veterinary Clinic. Is that correct? The name of your new clinic, Dr. Sarah?
That's correct. Marina Vets.
Marine Vets. I will reply to you on the SMS as well, Maud. Lama's been in touch saying, my cat called Tuss is almost 17 years old and aging very quickly. She hasn't been sick for almost a year, but is always horizontal and rarely gets off a sleeping routine, only to have a snack or do her bathroom visits. Vet last year said she has a tumour in her brain and it's affecting senses and her equilibrium. On top of that, my husband is allergic. What do I do and leave her to be? Don't think she's having a good life. And vet said she could be in pain as she meows a lot. It is the dilemma that, you know, unfortunately, pet owners often face about when to say goodbye. How can you offer some insights to Llama and poor old Tuss?
I would take little Tuss down to vets and get a sort of very objective view on what bits are hurting, what's going right or wrong. So just make sure you're up to date on that. The other thing that we often do, and I know I'm going to make you cry, is that we will often email our owners when is the right time to euthanize form. And I think that these can be quite important, because if the quality of life isn't there, then that can be very differently perceived by different family members. And what I find it's important to do is to take that form, and each member of the family goes off into a separate room and fills it out, and then you come together as a family and see what everybody makes of it. For instance, the adult that goes out to work all day sees the happy dog in the morning, sees the sort of bit of a walk or a tired dog in the evening, whereas the person who's at home all day may see that that dog just retreats off into the corner and does nothing. Or actually sort of worse than that is the person that cleans up the poo, cleans up the urine, cleans up everything, and the rest of the family, the kids at school, just see the happy part of it. So it is something that you want to sort of have a look at individually, but then bring together as a family and see how everybody feels, because it is important and this is your family member.
It is. I think that's really good advice, and sometimes it is about asking ourselves those really difficult questions, but it can often be the last kind act you can do for your animal if it is the right time. Lama, I think that's great advice from Dr. Sarah, so do reach out if we can connect you to look a little bit further into that, and wishing you and Tuss all the very best. Lots of questions coming in on 4001. Dr. Sarah Elliott is with us this afternoon. Lissy has got a question for you, and I'm very intrigued. She's saying, we've got a Suzuki Lurcher, had him for about a year, rescue dog. Rescue said he was about 3 years when we got him, but of course nobody really knows. Found as a stray, history is unknown. When we got him, the hair on his ears was a little bit long. You could tell he was a Saluki of sorts, but not really long. It's grown by at least an inch and a half over the last year, and I love it. Just wondering, out of curiosity, does it keep growing? Does it depend on the Saluki type? He's feathered with a feathered tail as well. He sounds gorgeous. If you do cut this hair back, does it grow back? Does it keep on going? What do we know?
Okay, first, can I just say about little Tuss?
Yes. Well,
it might be that Tuss actually has pain that we can relieve. There are drugs and things that we can use if there's pain there. So it may, going to the vets might not be about the end part. It may be about getting quality of life back for Tuss, which would obviously make everybody feel better.
Good advice indeed. Thank you for that. Little feathery
Saluki.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at it, basically every breed of dog or cat will have their maximum natural length. So, for instance, your golden retriever will never grow into a Rastafarian type, which a poodle, strangely enough, if you left a poodle's coat long enough, a poodle would actually grab the develop into these Rastafarian dreadlocks that will go down to the ground.
And it looks like a completely different breed. It's well worth a Google image search, actually, on that, because they just look completely different. It's unbelievable. Okay, and what do you think about a Saluki lurcher with these lovely feathers?
Most Saluki lurchers, I would say, end up with sort of medium-length hairs on the ears. They never seem to grow to sort of that full flowing lock that they can toss behind their head. I mean, you just have this vision of this sort of blonde Saluki, don't you? It's just whipping her hair back. You never normally see them grow that long. Often sort of grow to 5-6 centimetres, but that will be it. But the interesting to see, I mean, if it was my Saluki, if they were that cute, I wouldn't cut them. I'd just watch and wait and see what they did.
I agree. I love this message from Varsha earlier, who'd adopted a cat, didn't tell her husband, and now he needs to be won over. I think Carla sounds gorgeous. What would you say the top three reasons for having a cat in the home would be, Dr. Sara?
Well, reducing blood pressure. There are so many reports out there and studies that show that having a pet there to talk to stroke, reduces blood pressure and makes us live a longer, happier life. So, you know, she's trying to give her husband a longer, happier life. She's looking after him.
That's one.
Okay. Number two, let's look at it this way. She could have gone out and bought a new car or adopted 15 kids and brought those into the house the same day.
True. Very true.
Yeah. So
perspective.
Yeah. I mean, there's good and there's bad, isn't there? It's you know, what she actually brought home. And a cat's quite small. It's not like bringing a sort of dozen Great Danes into the house or a herd of cows.
Exactly. There you go, Alessandro. Enjoy your new addition. Emergency care for your vet. Well, keep getting vets and pets mixed up this afternoon. Emergency care for your vet should be taken care by a doctor, but emergency care for your pet should be something that we all know. And it's much like first aid for children. You know, you do hope and pray that you never need to know or to, you know, employ any of this information, but it can be a great source of encouragement and confidence, really, to know in your back pocket what you should do. So if I could run a couple of scenarios past you, Dr. Sara, I'd really love your insights. So what do you do if your pet is choking? We'll keep it simple with cat and dog, if that's okay. And I know it might vary according to the size of the animal, but some general guidelines would be great.
I think first thing I'd say, the same as any first aid, whether it's sort of humans or animals, is protect yourself first. Obviously, the instinct with choking is to pop your hand down there and pull the item out, but that can result in a very, very nasty bite. So do protect your fingers first. You can do the same as you do with a human. You can do a short, sharp pat on the side rather than the back to sort of try and make them cough that out. If, as far as reaching into the mouth, I wouldn't do that, unfortunately, unless they lose consciousness. Otherwise, as I say, you are likely to lose fingers or parts of fingers, so please don't do that. But they will form, if they become unconscious, then the mouth will go slack. You can reach in and pull that object out, and then the breathing will restart. And if necessary, you could always sort of close the mouth and give a couple of puffs down the nose to just help that process.
Okay. What about if your animal is bitten by another animal? What are the risk factors there and what should you do? And again, it will vary from being, you know, a punchy wound or a graze all the way to it being a wound. How do you know when it's time to go and see a vet?
If it's a bite from any other animal, I'd normally take them to go and see a vet. Unfortunately, I mean, whilst we look at puncture wounds and think, oh, that's not very serious, most cat bite abscesses in particular, sort of talking about cats, are formed by puncture wounds rather than sort of rip-roaring wounds. What happens is that the canine tooth punctures in almost like a needle, and then the hole closes up quite quickly, leaving the bacteria behind. So that's very likely to fester and cause an abscess. So go and see the vet. Any wound you get, sort of smaller punctures, if you can take off the scab and clean out the wound, and you can use sort of some chlorhexidine to clean out those wounds and just gently clean them. You can even, if you've got nothing at home, you can use clean salty water. It's more about the cleaning than anything else to make sure that you reduce the dirt in that wound. Big dog bites, you're obviously going straight down the vet.
And my stomach turns just thinking about this, but if your animal is struck by a car, and you know they're unconscious or you fear there might be broken bones, you know, do you move them? How do you know what to do in that instant when your adrenaline's pumping and all you're thinking about is getting your animal to safety?
First thing again is safety for the person trying to rescue. There's no point getting yourself run over trying to save, so make sure it's safe to go onto the side of the road to get the pet or whatever you have to do, so make sure you are safe. When you go to the pet, the ideal thing is to pop them onto a blanket or something so that you can lift them up without altering their position too much and take them in. Do not, again, an animal in pain, particularly let's say you've not had that animal for very long and it's run out across the road. If that animal is not, if that animal is in pain, it is again more likely to bite. So please keep yourself safe. Your pet, if they do bite you, if they're groggy, if they've been knocked on the head, they may well not know that it's even you that they're biting. And if they don't know it's you, then the bite's going to be harder. So please be careful. Stay away from the mouth.
Good advice as ever. I mean, as I said, we hope we never have to deal with these situations, but it is part and parcel of being a pet owner that accidents do happen, and the better equipped we are to deal with them, the better. But always have, and you know, you vets are so amazing about giving out emergency numbers and taking calls and taking WhatsApps and being sent photos. So thank you to all of the vets of the UA for the amazing care that you take of our animals, because it is having a member of the family, and to have a relationship with someone who cares is everything. It really, really is. Dr. Sarah, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. As I said, you can be found at the British Veterinary Hospital in Jumeirah and the Marine Veterinary Clinic as well, which is now in Dubai Marina. Thank you again. Wishing you all the best to you and your team. And we'll talk to you soon.
Pets and Vets.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
In association with Royal Canin, the trusted expert in nutrition for your cat and dog.
It is, of course, Pets and Vets, where we lift the lid, answering your questions and look behind some animal-related businesses here in the UAE. Pawson Pets is a leading pet relocation company here in the UAE, but has recently added something quite special to their business. One for all of you with, well, shall we say, some pretty specialist five-star cats out there who might be looking for a boarding facility. It's right in the heart of Dubai. And we're joined now. And Kirsty, I really hope your business card doesn't say General Dog's Body, but that's what I was told is your job title. Kirsty Kavanagh is with us. Does it say that on your business card?
It actually doesn't have a job title on my business card, but yes, my email signature does say that.
Kirsty, before we start talking about everything Pawson, I'd love to get to know you a little bit, but mostly get to know the animals under your roof. How many pets do you have and what are their names?
We have 4 dogs and 2 cats. We came to Dubai 14 years ago with no pets and over the years have accumulated a number of pets. So we have Dolce, Dolce the Diva. She's our first cat we adopted here. Then we had Henry the Fat Cat.
Oh, classic.
Probably quite it's a loving, endearing name for him. And then the dogs started coming in. I've had pets all my life, but I found myself in a situation where I wasn't working, and we started fostering, and then they started staying. So we have Lost, who is a German Shepherd. The dogs are all German Shepherds.
Lost is quite a special one, because Lost is one of the reading dogs. So under normal circumstances, Lost would be going into schools and interacting with kids and helping them kind of connect with their love of reading, or certainly get that love underway. I've met Lost, and it's just got the most beautiful, beautiful temperament for such a giant dog, a real gentle giant. My girls just completely fell in love with Lost, which, as you say, German Shepherds are big animals, and our kids are used to smaller ones, but just a very special soul indeed. So all 4 German Shepherds. Who else have you got?
We have Smoke. He came in a little while after Lost. He wasn't meant to stay, but then he did. Nobody wanted him, so he stayed with us. We wouldn't be without him now. Then we fostered Kiva. They all started as fosters.
Failed fosters.
Kiva. Yeah. She was left tied to a fence at 4 months old. Oh. 2.5 years later, every single day, I can understand why that might have been.
Oh, no. Come on. If even someone who works with animals for a living has problems with behaviour, what kind of things are you experiencing?
She's the only girl out of three boys, and she really is a little madam. She rules the roost. She's a bit of a minx. She's quite funny. If anyone's going to get up to mischief, it's Kiva. She has the shortest attention span. Last but not least, we have Zach. Zach, again, was fostered and ended up... My husband actually ended up saying he wanted us to keep Zach. Every time an animal comes into the house, he asks, how long is this one here for? And I was the one that was like, no, like, we're up to three. That's insane already. We're not having a fourth one. As foster, that's okay, but not. And we ended up with four. And in fact, last year in lockdown, we actually had six German Shepherds in the house.
That's a lot of food and a lot of poop to scoop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, because it's really clear that you are an animal lover. Exactly. And this has become your career. You are a pet relocation specialist, doing all hours, all calls, and making sure that animals get to their new forever homes safely. And are you able to just give us a quick update in terms of COVID? Are there any restrictions or guidelines that we need to be aware of if anyone is looking to relocate their pet over the coming weeks and months?
To be honest, the pets, for the last year or so, we've actually been able to move the pets far more easily than you'd expect, and definitely more easily than people are travelling. The airlines are still operating flights that you and I might not be able to go on. So, for example, we can still fly the pets direct to the UK. We can fly them direct to Australia and New Zealand. I think the main thing, there's nothing specific that's required additional because of COVID for the most part. I think the main things to consider are keep your pets' vaccinations updated. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, that's the key thing. Don't ever let those expire. If you are relocating somewhere where the timelines are a bit longer and require special processes such as blood tests and stuff, just be mindful of those and mindful of the timelines. There are certain countries where the waiting time is longer than it normally would be. Australia, for example, we went through a period of time where it was taking 4 or 5 months longer than normal to get a space in quarantine. But other than that, there's actually, it's pretty much business as usual.
That's great.
As best you can sort of say. And we've got a lot of pets traveling. We haven't had a single week in the last 12 months where pets could not fly.
Well, that is really encouraging. And I do hope that anyone who is relocating takes their animal with them, does the right thing, because they're very much part of the family, which is where you saw a gap, because we're lucky here in the UAE. We get to do some nice staycations when time and finances allow. But what about our cats? So tell us about the gap in the market that you identified when it came to cat boarding.
When we first adopted Dolce, and we were fostering cats before that, we were going away on holiday. We obviously didn't want to leave her in the house with someone coming in and out, although that is an option that obviously is great. We were going to be away for quite an extended period, so we wanted for her to go into boarding. When we actually started looking, we found that there wasn't really anywhere at all. We found a couple of places where the facilities were quite small. Okay, you know, if a cat's going to just sleep for a couple of hours and it's short term, but not long term. And predominantly, they were connected to boarding kennels, which catered primarily for dogs. Now, we now have a house of cats and dogs. That in itself isn't a major concern, but actually there's nowhere in the UAE that caters only for cats and has a facility where the cats have a large amount of space and can be in an environment which is as close as it can be to a home environment. But we identified that a couple of years ago. It sort of sat in the back of my mind. When I then started relocating pets, one of the formalities, actually, people don't realise that to be able to be licensed to relocate pets, you actually are supposed to have a facility such as a shop or a boarding kennel. And that's it's something you can't get around if you want all the proper licences. At that stage, I thought about it and thought, you know what? Actually, a cattery is what we should open. We opened a small facility in partnership with another business, and then it grew from there. It became quite successful, and ultimately that led to my opening this facility, which which is designed to cater to both our relocation clients, but also it's primarily set up for people who are here in Dubai that do need somewhere for their pets to stay.
I think that is really important. We've spoken before to Dr. Ray from the Cat Vet about that vet offering being solely for the felines because of scent and comfort and trying to ease anxiety as far as possible, and not to mention interactions in the waiting room as well. And what's the reception been like? We know that cat people are passionate about their pets. People pouring in, hope maybe getting any availability for the Easter break coming up, Kirsty?
We are getting a lot of inquiries. We've had a lot of positive feedback. We've actually had quite a lot of pets staying, both people staying, for both cats staying as relocations and staycations. The feedback's been really positive, actually. Everything had to be right. The condos needed to be really big.
Condos?
The environment has to, we took over an existing facility, and the first thing I did was actually rip out half of the kennels and make the remaining kennels, condos, like twice and four times the size.
Wow.
Of what they were before. People are really happy. Importantly, the pets that are mm-hmm. staying with us seem to be happy as well.
That was Kirsty Kavanagh, who calls herself General Dog's Body at Portum, located in Alcoz.
Pets and Vets.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
In association with Royal Canin, the trusted expert in nutrition for your cat and dog.
Dog walking is so over. Now it's all about working out with your four-legged friend. Coming back by, yes, popular demand tomorrow. So you've got 24 hours to get your dog fit for this session. Bear DXB is inviting you to work out with your dog. TJ's joining us now to tell us about what we can expect. This fills me with anxiety, TJ. My dogs are wild. How did it go last time? How many people came and what kind of dogs came through the doors at Bear?
We had a huge range of dogs, and basically, I mean, obviously we're expecting a lot of small dogs to come. We were like, okay, great, you know, you're going to have your Frenchies, your kind of pugs, whatever. And then someone rocked up with a German Shepherd.
Yes.
So we were like, wow, okay. But luckily, no other dogs got eaten, so it went smoothly. You know, no other dogs made a mess on the floor, so it was great. You know, everyone seemed to have a good time, even though there was a much bigger dog around.
Can I ask, what on earth does a fitness session with a four-legged pal involve? What, presumably some quality calorie burning. What are you going to be doing in the
quality session
tomorrow?
So basically, the session is themed around the dog. So we have a dog Olympics, okay? So part of the workout is, you know, you work out, the dog goes to a separate pen area, okay? So we have special dog carers who take care of the dogs during like the first part of the session, and then we kind of go outside, we get all the owners to come and take their dogs so they can kind of run around, and we'll do kind of certain races around the running bit we have outside. We also do, with the smaller dogs, we do dog carry, so you can do squats with the dogs, you can do walking lunges with the dogs,
clever.
You know, so you take the dog out, get the dog involved in the workout. I mean, the dog's not getting fit, but the owners certainly are.
I did this in lockdown. There's a photo of me using our, I think Lucy, our Cocker Spaniel, is about 15 kilos doing weighted sumo squats with Lucy. It's intense. What if they don't want to play ball, TJ?
I mean, to be honest, I mean, we leave that to the owners. I mean, they can run around. I mean, there was a couple of dogs last time just running riot, you know, taking interest in other dogs. And most of the dogs were well-behaved. We basically advertised they need to have gone to doggy daycare before. So mm-hmm. they're familiar with other dogs. They're kind of well-trained. But obviously, you still do get the rogue dog. But, you know, it all seemed to work well. We're hoping tomorrow still goes, I'm sure it'll go down well.
It's not the end of the world if there's a bit of, you know, boisterous behaviour. Everyone who has a dog knows that there's a bit of barking, a bit of bum sniffing. And that's, you know, they're going to get a bit of mental and physical stimulation just by being in that space. And everyone else can kind of crack on with their circuits. You've got some prizes as well. What do you need to do to win a prize from Foxy Box?
So Foxy Box, amazing partners with this. They really hooked everyone up last time. They basically sort out for everyone who brings a dog. They give them toys and treats depending on the breed. They also had last time they had, they're leaving it a surprise this time. Last time they had like doggy ice cream and everything like that. For the dogs to be able to win it, we need best of show. So we're going Crufts style. The cutest dog, the most well-behaved dog, the most personality, the best personality. So last time it was a Basset Hound who won. It was an amazing dog. It was so cute. I mean, it didn't have any objection with their owner squatting it, and it looked like a heavy dog. So you know, and I think this time they've got a prize wheel. So they're going to spin the wheel, and then obviously certain owners are going to pick whatever it is. Some of them is a protein shake, some is Foxy Box prizes, some is 30 burpees. So The luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw. So this is tomorrow, 5:30.
Tomorrow's 5:30.
Bear DXB is in Business Bay. How much are you charging and how can people sign up?
So it's 120 dirhams per class, or you can buy packages from there. But 120 dirhams if you want to come and just attend the one class. The dog obviously is comes for free. You sign up via the website, bear.ae. You can literally go on. All the information is on there. Click book, buy, done.
TJ there from Bear DXB inviting you to work out with your pooch tomorrow at 5:30.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Join the conversation
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
You can listen to Pets and Vets, brought to you by Royal Canin, live every single Wednesday afternoon between 4 and 5 on Dubai Eye 103.8.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to DubaiEye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.